I wonder if you could turn in your Bibles to Mark chapter 14 and be reading from verse 27. So Jesus said unto them, All ye shall be offended because of me this night, for it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered. But after that I am risen, I will go before you into Galilee. But Peter said unto him, Although all shall be offended, yet will not I. And Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto you, that this day, even in this night, before the cock crow twice, thou shalt deny me thrice. But he spake the more vehemently, If I should die with thee, I will not deny thee in any wise. Likewise also said they all. And they came to a place which was named Gethsemane, and he said to his disciples, Sit ye here, while I shall pray. And he taketh with him Peter and James and John, and began to be sore amazed, and to be very heavy. And saith unto them, My soul is exceeding sorrowful unto death. Tarry ye here, and watch. And he went forward a little, and fell on the ground, and prayed that if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. And he said, Abba, Father, all things are possible unto thee. Take away this cup from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what thou wilt. And he cometh and findeth them sleeping, and saith unto Peter, Simon, sleepest thou? Couldst not thou watch 1 hour? Watch ye and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. The spirit truly is ready, but the flesh is weak. And again he went away, and prayed and spake the same words. And when he returned, he found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. Neither wist they what to answer him. And he cometh the third time, and saith unto them, Sleep on now, and take your rest. It is enough. The hour is come. Behold, the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise up, let us go. Lo, he that betrayeth me is at hand. And immediately, while he yet spake, cometh Judas, one of the 12, and with him a great multitude, with swords and staves, from the chief priests and the scribes and the elders. And he that betrayed him had given him a token, saying, Whomsoever I shall kiss, that same is he. Take him, and lead him safely away. And as soon as he was come, he goeth straight away to him, and said, Master, Master, and kissed him. And they laid their hands on him, and took him. And one of them that stood by drew a sword, and smote a servant of the high priest, and cut off his ear. And Jesus answered and said unto them, Are ye come out as against a thief, with swords and with staves to take me? I was daily with you in the temple, teaching, and you took me not. But the scriptures must be fulfilled. And they all forsook him and fled. And there followed him a certain young man, having a linen cloth cast about the naked body. And the young men laid hold on him, and he left the linen cloth and fled from them naked. The title, as those who are regular attenders know, I have a title. And my title for this morning is The Betrayal and Arrest of Jesus. And I have a text, or a set reminder. You could use it as a memory verse. And it's verse 4 to 4. And he that betrayed him had given them a token, saying, Whomsoever I shall kiss, the same is he. Take him and lead him away safely. And the message this morning, if you like, surrounds that verse. On our last visit, we finished with Jesus having initiated the Lord's Supper, sharing the bread and the wine with his disciples, and having sung a hymn of praise, they left the upper room in Bethany, and they went into the Mount of Olives, where our story continues today. Verses 27 to 31 are called Peter's self-confidence. As Jesus and the 11 disciples strolled along the paths of the Mount of Olives, and remember that Judas had departed, and some believe that he had been actually sent out by the Lord Jesus on a message. So they didn't think anything strange that he had left the group. So as they walked along the paths, their spirits were probably lifted as they sung one of the Psalms, known as the Hallel Psalms. And they are Psalm 113 to 118. And those psalms were sung during the Passover. And I've chosen Psalm 118 verse 1 says, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, because his mercy endureth forever." And again, it's another memory verse you could write in your Bibles and remember. His mercy endureth forever. As they walked along, Jesus said, "All ye shall be offended, stumble, because of me this night, for it is written." And that comes from Zechariah chapter 13 and verse 7, which says, "Smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered." Jesus added to that, "But after that, I am risen, I will go before you into Galilee." As we go through life, there are occasions when we will feel down. I'd be surprised if anybody said there aren't any occasions when they don't feel that. But let's remember, the mercy of the Lord endureth forever. And he has promised that we will never be alone. We speak of the grace and the mercy of God, but it's very easy for the word of God to enter into one ear and out the other ear without making an impression upon our hearts or our minds. The two readings that I've just read shows that Jesus knew what his friends would do. Friends who had the privilege of being in his company, but who would shortly desert him. Jesus spoke of his death and his resurrection, but the disciples as yet did not fully grasp and understand what had been said. The shepherd would be killed, but he would rise up and gather his scattered sheep. The mercy of the Lord endureth forever. Peter was sure that even if all the other disciples deserted Jesus, he would be faithful and be with Jesus. Jesus said, "Verily I say unto thee, that this day, even in this night, before the cock crow twice, thou shalt deny me thrice." Peter was sure of his love and faithfulness for Jesus. We read that he speak the more vehemently, "If I should die with thee, I will not deny thee in any wise." The other disciples, not to be outdone, said the same. They all made the same declaration. There is a challenge there for each of us. First of all, let us be vigilant. There's a warning. Let us not be overconfident in our faith, in our walk, lest we fall. But there is encouragement. If we do fall, we do not have to remain in the dust. We have a gracious and merciful Savior whose mercy endureth forever. And he's willing to lift us up if we would turn to him with a humble heart. He loved us while we were yet sinners and gave his life for us. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. In Luke chapter 22, verses 31 to 32, we read, "And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, Satan hath deserved to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren." The Lord Jesus knew that Peter would fall. But there's an encouragement there. He says that when you are converted, strengthen your brethren. He did not remain in the dust. How sure are we of our love and faithfulness for our Savior and Lord? We read in the Bible that there is a spiritual battle taking place in us and around us. If or when we are put to the test, may the enabling strength of the Holy Spirit keep us faithful and true. Verses 32 to 42, agonies in Gethsemane. Verse 32 to 36, the agony of Jesus. Darkness had settled over the land. It was Thursday night. As Jesus and his disciples strolled along, they came to an enclosed area which was named Gethsemane. Gethsemane means olive press, a place where olives were pressed for their oil. And the oil was used for healing and light. Some of you may have picked up on that. Jesus Christ will be pressed in that garden, and he is being used for healing and light in us. In John chapter 18 and verses 1 to 2, we learn that it was an area where Jesus and his disciples often visit. An area where, if you like, they went for a bit of peace and quiet. Well, we also read that the area was known by Judas, so he knew where Jesus would be. Jesus said to his disciples, "Sit ye here while I shall pray." He then took with him Peter, James, and John a little farther into the enclosed area and began to be sore amazed and to be very heavy. It wasn't the humanity of Jesus responding as he considered the physical suffering of death on a cross. Crucifixion was one of the cruelest Roman punishments. It was meant to be a deterrent. It was the divinity of Jesus responding. As the moment of his sacrifice drew near, the sense of burden resulting from our sins and our transgression that would be laid on him, and the judgment of a righteous God, was overwhelming. We cannot begin to understand or to appreciate what it meant to him as he considered what lay ahead of him. The sinless one would become the sin offering for us. The sins of the world would be placed on his shoulders. The spiritual suffering was overwhelming. Let us never make light of sin. He said unto them, "My soul is exceeding sorrowful unto death. Tarry ye here and watch." And he went forward a little and fell on the ground and prayed that if it were possible, that the hour might pass from him. I mentioned that we cannot begin to appreciate what it meant for Jesus to become a sin offering for us. Here we read of Jesus prostrated on the ground, praying to God because of the burden of our sins. When we attempted to sin, may the Holy Spirit remind us of what Jesus suffered so that we might be freed from the penalty of our sins, a penalty that Jesus willingly bore on our behalf. A few weeks ago in Psalm 55, we saw David turn to God when he was in trouble. Here we see Jesus, our perfect example in everything, turning to God in prayer. What did he pray? That if it were possible, that the hour might pass from him. There was no other way, and it was for that purpose that he came and dwelt among us. He prayed again to his loving Father, with whom all things are possible. Was there another way whereby these ungodly sinners might be saved? Nevertheless, not what Jesus will, but what the Father will. God heard his prayer, and he answered with silence. There was no other way than by the death, the burial, and the resurrection of the beloved Son, whereby sinners can be saved, set free from their sins. All we need to do is to ask forgiveness and accept the gift of salvation that is freely offered. And then we can hear or we can sing the joyful song, "Jesus Saves." Apart from following Jesus' example and bringing our prayer requests before our Heavenly Father, let us also learn that his reply may not be given immediately. The answer we want may not be granted immediately or at all. We can also learn that God's will is always the best. We may not understand, but by faith we trust our Heavenly Father. Not my will, but thy will be done. Verses 37 to 42, the disciples' agony, fallen asleep when the Lord asked them to be vigilant. Jesus had given precise instructions. It said, "Sit ye here while I pray." He returns to find that whilst he was in agony, they were sleeping comfortably. He said unto Peter, Simon, sleepest thou? Couldst not thou watch 1 hour? It's interesting that Jesus addressed Peter, the one who had stated that regardless of what the others did, he would be faithful and true. It is a challenge for us. If we cannot be faithful and true in small things, can we be trusted with large things? Jesus once again gave instructions to the disciples, watch ye and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. The spirit truly is ready, but the flesh is weak. I'm sure, if not all, most of us have found ourselves in that situation. Our desire is to do that which is right according to the word of God. But because of our weak flesh, we do occasionally fail. Jesus again went away and prayed and spake the same words. And when he returned, he found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. Neither wist they what to answer him. Another situation that we might have experienced either as a child or as a parent. A child is given instructions. Could be anything. But the child failed to carry out those instructions as given. He's challenged by his parents, who give the instruction once more. But once more, the child fails to carry out those instructions. Once more, when confronted by the parent is faced with the silence of a guilt-ridden child, not knowing what to answer. Jesus cometh the third time and saith unto them, sleep on now and take your rest. It is enough. The hour is come. Behold, the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise up and let us go. He that betrayeth me is at hand. While Jesus was still speaking, Judas arrived, and with him a great multitude with swords and staves, as if they were sent to capture a dangerous criminal or a new ruler with a large number of followers who were loyal and ready to defend their leader. The candlestick approach showed their guilt, their fear that there might be an uproar by those who gladly heard Jesus. The great multitude consisted of Roman soldiers and temple guards, representing the chief priests and the scribes and the elders. Pupils often greeted rabbis with a kiss, and Judas had previously arranged that whomsoever he kissed, that same is Jesus. And they were to take him and lead him away. And so we read, as soon as they arrived, Judas went straight to Jesus and would have said to him, Rabbi, Rabbi, which translated is Master, Master, and kissed him. Why did Judas betray Jesus? How did he feel as he addressed Jesus and looked at him and said, Master, Master, and kissed him? Simple answer, we do not know. Some speculate that it was greed that caused him to do it. Some suggested it was a way of forcing Jesus to use his power to get rid of the Roman authorities. Some suggest that it was jealousy of possible James, Peter, and John. These may have all contributed to his action. But as I say, we do not know. This is just speculation. But what we do know is that he made the choice to betray Jesus. They took hold of Jesus and led him away. One of the disciples, identified as Peter in John chapter 18, verse 10, drew a sword and smote a servant of the high priest and cut off his ear. It could be said that it was a natural reaction by Peter. Faced with the Roman soldiers and temple guards who were armed with swords and staves, he had a sword, and so he drew his sword in defense. The Lord Jesus Christ could have called on angels, or he could have defended himself. However, it was not his way. The Lord rebuked Peter and miraculously replaced the ear of the servant. Jesus questioned the approach of the multitude. He said unto them, Are you come out against me as a thief, with swords and with spades at night to take me? I was daily with you in the temple teaching, and you took me not. But the scripture must be fulfilled. And they all forsook him and fled. Present danger drove any thought of support from their minds. Sitting here in comfort and safety, we might be tempted to be critical of the disciples deserting Jesus. When the disciples were told one of them would betray him, they asked, Is it I? If we were asked today, would we run or would we stand? I'm sure we'd all like to think that we will say that we will stand. However, faced with reality, will we stand or will we run? May we not be put to the test, but if we were, may the Holy Spirit enable us to stand firm, remembering what Jesus Christ has done for us. And there followed a certain young man having a linen cloth cast about his naked body, and the young men laid hold of it, and he left the linen cloth and fled from them naked. Mark is the only one that records this incident, and it is believed that the young man is Mark, showing that he was an eyewitness to what had occurred in Gethsemane. The Lord Jesus knows each of us and what we would do, as he knew the disciples and what they would do. However, as we go our separate ways, let us remember that we need to be vigilant. Remember that the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. God desires only the best for us, and he has established a way whereby we can receive the best. The way is by the cross, and Jesus Christ is the key. May we take his outstretched hand, remembering today is the day of salvation. We know not what tomorrow might bring, and having taken his hand, may we never let go as he leads us to our heavenly home. And we can sing with joy in our heart, Jesus saves. Amen.